Chicho.
What up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man. 1100 AM.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and
what
Coach.
Up? Up?
You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stalling. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been balling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real
Woo.
Talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios, overlooking Atlanta Station. It's the SRT crew, Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in to the hottest 2 hours of radio, sports talk radio, that you are here on air. And we do our thing every week, every Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time listening, shame on you, but we do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We give you more in 2 hours than most people get in 1 week. And the main reason we do that is we follow our favorite hashtag, We Know Sports. And I am your humble host, Mr. H.O. from Bankhead.
Westside. Bankhead. It won't fall.
And of course, I got my two other co-hosts in the building rocking with me each and every week. We tied down like brothers, baby.
Yes, sir.
My main man from Memphis, Tennessee, saving the world, the sports superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What's happening, man?
What's up, D Weezy?
What's happening?
Boy, how that week going?
Yeah.
Boy.
Hot outside, I know that.
I know that's right.
Got the shorts on today.
Boy.
Hey. Got the joy.
Got the legs out.
Yeah. Hey, man, anybody catching up on these new shows, man? I hadn't caught Empire.
24 is the show.
I heard that.
I
saw the new Sanaa Lathan thing.
I haven't checked that out, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So I'm just trying to get caught up, man. It's been all this NCAA and NBA.
Well, at least we know you're working, though.
Yeah, I can't get.
Yeah.
I got to give them a pop culture on, too, though. So.
And of course, I got my other guy co-hosting. This man knows what he's talking about. 4 out of 8 champions of the world, the college football champ, all the way from the Gump, D. Will, the coach.
What happening then? What up, crew?
What's up, Weezy?
Man, I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yes.
Got a lot to talk about. Yeah, got a lot.
I almost went 3 pages.
Like, man, we are information overload over here.
Like I said, you get more in 2 hours than you do a whole week, man. And of course, I got my main man behind the glass, G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
What up, G?
Yo. Oh, I went to jail. I binge watched Empire.
You binge watched.
I don't know who allowed Terrence Howard to wear his hair in a conch like it is. Last person I have a conch was Denzel Washington and Malcolm X.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Listen, if you want to join the show, call us, get something off your chest, ask us a question. Please give us a call, 404-603-8770. And if you want to shoot us an email, at srtsportstalkradio@gmail.com. It's srtsportstalkradio@gmail.com. Shoot us an email, ask us a question. Obviously, we got some email bag questions that we will discuss tonight. We got a great show for you. We got the hot news coming up very, very soon. And we talking tonight about a lot of stuff. NBA talk. We even go talk about Falcons draft picks or pick. And then I got...
you want to talk about that sniper in the NBA too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ain't no doubt. Second hour of the show, we got March Madness talk with Deshaun Tate. He will be in studio with us, joining us.
Hey, that boy balling.
Like he has the last couple of weeks. And we got some email back questions. And just want to kind of throw this out. We will randomly be doing a thing called More Likely.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we can probably prep that into a segment. But tonight it'll just be random. So I'm just going to holla out More Likely and just a real quick answer. You don't have to go into details. Just let us know what's more likely to happen in your eye. And of course, we got the fun bag by 8:45. We got some fun bag stuff, and we will get all off into that. But once again, thanks for tuning in to the hottest 2 hours of sports that you can ever get. And I promise you that. And with that being said, gee, let's get to this hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, if you love shrimp, catfish, whatever, fried, grilled, scampi, however you like it, run over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Go to BigEasyGrill.com. The best shrimp in town, and it is verified. I did forget to mention that. Please go to our new website. That's srtradio.com. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the site because we will be doing giveaways and prizes if you're on the subscribe list. Shout out to Design Queen, the hottest website designer that I know, because she really did her thing with our site. So please go to srtradio.com and check it out. All right. What's hot in the news right now? The Raiders are moving to Los Angeles, and I don't know how y'all feel about that, but they are moving to Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is a gambling place, not quite a sports place. How y'all feel about the Raiders leaving? Is it, they turn their back?
Yeah, I can't believe. I'm going to tell you like this. They don't care if the Raiders are good or bad. They have no care in the world. Those 31 owners that voted for it, they had one thing on their mind. Money.
Yep.
Period. Like, we can talk X's and O's, personnel, stadium, all of that type stuff. It don't matter. This move is about money.
I agree. Hand with you.
I think each
you got
owner,
on black today.
Yeah,
all black.
Each owner, I think, stands to make about $250 million off the move, or something like that, from what I'm hearing. And I think Jerry Jones has the concession rights.
Ooh.
So whether you're in Jacksonville,
what?
Whether you're in New York, whether you're in Chicago, whatever, the move to Vegas nets them, I think, all up. I think from what I heard, like a quarter of a billion. Yeah, $250 million, $250 million. I think is how it's set up to make something like that over the years, or some kind of way, from what they were talking about.
So they really care about football?
Yeah. So I mean, it's money, man. It's what it is. They, if somebody else want to move, let me help you get a truck.
Hey, hey, two men in a truck, baby. So, anybody want to move?
Hey,
G, how you feel about it, man?
It's kind of, I feel bad for Oakland.
Yeah, I do too.
Because they couldn't do what Al Davis, the whole thing with Al Davis, why he moved from Oakland, then he came back. He wanted a new stadium, right, and he never got it. And now they're moving to a place to where they're finally going to get a new stadium. So I think that was a big part of it. They wanted a new stadium really bad. Bad enough to move.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Warriors are moving across the bay to San Francisco next year. So it's all about Oakland not being able to afford and get the buildings, you know. And look at what Oakland was playing on, man. Playing on half a dirt infield for half the year because of baseball. Mm-hmm. you know, the stadium was old. It is what
they
it is.
They were the last team that seemed to still be doing that.
Still be doing it. So, I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, I hate to see it because you got your legendary franchises, and they're one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, just win, baby. That's something that everybody knows from way back. So,
exactly.
To see them move, you know, it's kind of down, but it is what it is.
Okay. The next.
Hey, I ain't from Oakland. I'm sorry. Yeah. Shout out to Sway.
I know, right? The next hottest topic, Final Four set. Gonzaga, South Carolina. You got UNC. And who's the other team?
Does it matter?
Yeah, Oregon. South Carolina, Oregon.
Oregon's probably, that's going to be a dog, great game.
Remember I told
you
y'all.
Said it.
Yeah. Oregon, man, I just love the way they don't quit.
Mm-hmm. So, a 7-1 seed, 3 seed, and a 1 seed. So once again, only 2 ones got to the Final Four. Three first time coaches that's there. And no high profile 1-and-done freshmen are in the Final Four. Mm-mm. Are we surprised of the Final Four? Well, we said it would be one of those years.
Yeah, we did. I remember
we
that.
Said it would be one of those years. And with three first-time coaches that's there, and Oregon hadn't been there since, what, 39?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 39.
Yeah.
39 in South Carolina for the first time. And
yep. That's crazy.
Yes.
So are you surprised? Are you how do you feel about it? Just real brief because we're going to get more into it.
Yeah. About how it's lining up?
Yeah, how it's lined up.
Well, I mean, what we had talked about was that, you know, in this new day and time, it's just a different era.
Yeah, yeah.
And the era being that, you know, you don't have the continuity of the freshmen or whatever, and it's starting to be more because there are more freshmen coming into the league and everybody has them.
Right.
So now the teams that are able to keep maybe a couple of, you know, returning players or whatever might have that advantage, and you have your teams like Gonzaga who build their teams by getting players that may not be ready for the pro level, but they kind of grow into the program, and those teams become more of a, you know, more – established and ready to play every year.
They got a couple of transfers too.
Yeah, but I mean the older style. Yeah, what I'm saying is, you know, it's just a different style of recruitment.
It's in Phoenix, and so it's that favorite. Well, let me just say it like this: it's the Carolinas versus the Northwest. Mm-hmm. Did we kind of?
Oh, yeah, go ahead and say it.
Say it.
We kind of didn't give West Coast basketball a lot of props.
We didn't.
And Oregon and Gonzaga are there. Did Arizona, did UCLA, I mean, did it just work out with matchups? The reason why Gonzaga, or did we just not believe until
it worked out more with matchups.
Yeah.
Because UCLA – even if they beat Kentucky, okay, now you got to play North Carolina. Like, that was the toughest bracket.
Like, right. That was insane.
And Gonzaga, you know, they got by with a brain fart from West Virginia.
Right.
And then they're playing Xavier in to get to the Final Four. So the path was a little easier for them as far as matchups goes. But, hey, you supposedly you got to win those games. So
yeah,
they
win.
Did definitely earn their spot.
How do we
– Go ahead. Sorry. The only thing I don't like is, yeah, they had an easier path, and I agree. And the reason they got it was because they played in a smaller conference, a weaker conference out there, which padded their stats. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get that number one ranking and seeding, and it allowed for them to get an easier path. So, I mean, it's really not fair to those other schools that play in different conferences that – the competition levels are better.
Right.
And the other thing is, what it also shows is the teams that from conferences that we don't expect to be good, those are the teams that are there. Like, Yeah, we knew Gonzaga played in a weak conference, and we gave them absolutely no chance to make it to the Final Four. All right. Oregon, who played in the Pac-12, especially after losing that big man to the torn ACL right in the in the conference championship.
Yeah. Boucher.
I can pronounce it. I was going to let y'all go at it. Boucher. Losing him. We didn't think they were going to make it because they lost a piece in the middle.
Right.
And look where they are. And then a team like South Carolina in the SEC where you can't really argue. It's been either Kentucky or nobody coming out of the SEC. We have given the SEC basketball absolutely no props over the last couple of years. And for South Carolina to show up there, and then UNC. And they were the overall number one team in the country coming in. So. Right.
And to that point, that'll be question number three. Did we actually underrate the SEC basketball? I mean, Florida was in the Elite
Eight. As I just said, yes.
Florida was in the Elite Eight. And a great game.
They had three teams in the Elite
Eight.
Great
game.
Yes. Great game. They almost won that game until the end. And then you got a team like Kentucky who, like G said earlier, the gauntlet was just too much.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to overcome. Like, North Carolina didn't have the same path as Kentucky, you know?
So, I can guarantee you that there's probably not, besides us, I'm just the average fan, can't name three players on South Carolina team or three players on Florida team. Hancock, come on now.
Oh, you right.
I guarantee that. I'll bet anything, and they're in the Final Four, and they still couldn't name nobody.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Because I got trouble.
Yeah. So you see him scratching your head?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. Yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
You don't have the returning players, and then so if they're not big name players, nobody's really. You know, we get into this all the time about they're not on television a lot. Well, they're on television, but they're not on mine,
right?
Yeah,
because I'm not watching it until this time of year, to be honest with you. Maybe the conference championship.
You know, if I got something I can throw at you now.
Come on with me.
Okay, you say the reason you don't watch is because there are no big names, but the reason that it upsets you is because the big names don't stay the build. So wouldn't you want to watch a team that has kids that stayed the build? Yeah, like wouldn't you want to watch a South Carolina during the year? Because, yeah, they don't have the big name, but they're everything that you want and asking for in a basketball team. You see what I'm saying? Like
I hear you, but I'm kind of caught in between there because my argument has always been, I think if you're good enough to come out of high school, you should go right to the pro.
I totally agree.
So I get kind of in a crossfire with staying in college because to me, I feel like if you're staying in college, there's a reason you're in college. You're not ready for the pros.
But some people develop.
That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, if you look at the normal guys that stay 4 years, a lot of times they do not.
Thornwell at South Carolina.
Right.
Just take him. Exactly. And look how he's playing.
He's playing great. But how is he going to do it the next level?
See, but I think that's irrelevant in what we're talking about.
I understand. That's why I say I'm caught in a cross. Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it gets to the point where that throwback basketball, college basketball that I grew up with, we got to know the players at the schools.
Because
I didn't have to worry about next
You got
year.
To know a Patrick Ewing, not a Thornwell.
I got to know
who stayed a long time.
I knew who was on St. John's team. I knew who was on Georgetown's team.
They stayed 3 years
exactly.
back then.
Exactly.
I feel you.
And it's just different now because you might have an influx of a freshman, but it might be one freshman on this team that pushes this team up. Mm-hmm. Now Kentucky got a new roster every year.
Yeah.
You know, Duke got two or three freshmen coming in every year. Carolina got the big name freshmen coming in every year. And those are the main schools that get the airtime on television. You know, you have those cross conference matchups, ACC versus Big Ten and those type. You know, and there used to be something where you waited on because you knew the players that were going to be there for the next year. And you built a rivalry.
But the players are still there.
Right, but now the rivalry is not like I was waiting to see bias against Jordan. Now it's like Maryland against North Carolina. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't have that actual person-to-person rivalry or that connection. And it's just a little different now.
I feel you. Well, we got your back. Trust me on that. Speaking of freshmen. UCLA
segment right now.
Yeah, UCLA lost, and we all have
been privy to LeVar Ball
love him
extravaganza. Did Lonzo Ball's stock drop in the game against Kentucky?
No.
Did it show any?
No waiver.
Any no. weaknesses?
No. He just had a bad game.
If he wouldn't even play, it didn't matter.
Exactly.
He's still, depending on the team, and teams that might have a young point guard that might not want to upset, except for the Lakers, might want to pass on him. But other than that, if you have not established a point guard, I think he's the one because he runs the show. It's the difference between he and Folk. Even though the NBA now is a more of a scoring point guard league, mm-hmm. You and I, we talk about it all the time. Point guards that score the ball are kind of taking the lead in this game. Mm-hmm. He's a kind of a throwback to, I can get you involved. I can get you 20. But my thing really is to make this team and everybody on it better.
And I see where you're coming from, but I'm going to tell you like this. I think that's the role he played at UCLA. You understand what I'm saying?
I think
his offensive ability, I don't even think we're not even close to seeing it. You see what I'm saying? I think he can get to the league and get in a situation where he can be the point guard that we're seeing right now.
Okay.
He has that ability.
Okay. All right, so now with that being said, and I know you had a thing with this, his release point, his shooting form, and as a coach, and D. Will, you can attest to this, if I force him right, I know he's not going to shoot a jump shot because he shoots from the left side. Will that hinder him in the pros?
It ain't hinder Kevin Martin. He shot from his hip.
Right, but Kevin Martin was like somebody had to get him a shot.
Exactly.
He was a spot up and wait for the ball to get there.
And that's what makes Lonzo Ball even better because he can get his off the dribble. So he knows where he wants to get to. He can get separation. He can put it on the floor and get separation. And his range is, we think little brother can shoot it from deep. Lonzo Ball didn't show that in that
right.
What he needed
exactly.
to.
He hadn't shown that to me.
He didn't have to, though.
But I want to see him play against pros because
and that's my
it's
point.
It's a different level than, when you got people that their job, their livelihood depends on forcing him into places where he's not comfortable.
Right.
That's the biggest thing when we see the jump from any level is like, what do you do when I take what you do well away?
Or what you did great in college.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. When I take that away, when I make you not be able to get to these spots.
That's going to be hard to do when you're able. Because I'm going to tell you, everybody goes into every game saying, we're going to make Russell Westbrook do this. That's the plan. Well, you see what I'm saying?
Well,
everybody
team,
has a plan until
a
you step out there.
Can do it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, a couple of teams can do it. And it's then what we talk about is over a seven-game series.
I understand
that. I feel you on that,
But I'm just talking about him as a pro in the NBA.
Him as a pro.
I think he's going to be that kind of player because think about it. Here's the other thing we're confusing. He's going to get to the combine.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to test out at 6'6". His wingspan going to be around almost 6'9", 6'8", 6'9", probably. Closer to 7 feet, hopefully. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But because he looks a little long, and he's going to jump a 38-inch vertical, 39 probably, because he can jump out of the gym.
Right.
All those measurables are going to measure up awesome. I don't care where he shoots the ball from, and that's what it is.
I think he's camp.
Oh, I just wanted to add that he's going to it will be best if he went to a team to where, there's a lot of ball movement and he can run the show, and he could eventually, just spot up and get his own shot, similar to a Jason Kidd. Kidd didn't take a whole lot of people off the dribble and shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers. He was looking to pass an open teammate. And even later in his career, playing in this current era, he became a spot-up three-point shooter and still was able to run the offense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Lonzo Ball will be. I think he'll be able to do that coming right into the league.
That'll
kind of alleviate the shooting form and
all of that.
Okay. I'm about 85%.
Hancock said you got to throw
it. That shot and where it comes from, and knowing how aggressive and strong the defenders are, kind of like in the pros. I want to see it.
Okay.
I just think he has all the attributes, but I want to see it.
He has all that.
And to the point. There was a report that he actually didn't want to play, wanted to be at the hospital with his mom.
So that could have contributed.
I got a bigger issue with that than anything else.
Well, putting it out there.
I don't know. I mean, his mom was, you know, well, you know, we only go in because it's all, we don't know for sure. But right. There are some things.
Exactly.
He might have had a little case of Fox, too.
39 points would do that.
He had some chicken Fox.
Yeah. So with no one and done super freshmen in the Final Four, is that a, does that contribute to your point, D. Will, as, well, let's just say, is it more parity than we give it credit for, or we is just no clear-cut dominant team? And a dominant team that has all freshmen, you still going to need that leadership ability.
Like, here's the thing. We always say that dominant team, but in the years where we had that dominant team, when Kentucky went undefeated into the championship, we complained about not having parity. You see what I'm saying? Well, they only doing it because there's no players and everybody's one and done. And now that those teams who do recruit well, because it's a lot of basketball play, everybody plays basketball. Now they recruit well, and some kids that can't be one and dones, they may go two, they may go three, some go four. And those teams turn into these teams that we're seeing in the South Carolinas. We're seeing that now. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same. What do we really want? Do we want dominant teams or do we want good basketball? Yeah. What do we want?
I hear what you're saying about a lot of good players and all that, but I think, and this is just me, I just think there's been an influx of good players from year to year. So these good players that came out the next year, they weren't able to play because you had upperclassmen that were still there. Let's look at Kentucky back. Think about it. Devin Booker scored 70.
Yeah.
He would still be in college right now.
Yeah. All of them would, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
We can go through a lot.
So what I'm saying is a lot of these players, Fox wouldn't be at Kentucky.
Where would he be, though?
But I don't know. But
that's my point. It's so many players now.
Exactly. But it was so many good players still at other schools, he might not even play his first year.
You know,
what I'm trying to say. It's like a lot of these kids are forced up, and I don't think a lot of them are ready.
But a lot of them are. So what are we going to do? We're going to force De'Aaron Fox to go to Kentucky.
No, he might go somewhere else and be a star. He might go somewhere else and be a star.
Let me just take your point. Exactly. He can go anywhere. Yeah. But I'm just saying Kentucky's the hotbed.
Right.
And say they got Tyler Ulis still there. They still got Devin Booker. They still got all these one-and-done players that they had. And then you got a De'Aaron Fox who
– can't go.
He's like – he got to – say he want to go to Kentucky.
Can't go.
But now you just said it was players back in the day that didn't play their first year. They didn't get on the court till their junior year, really.
Right.
So we're going to take these crazy talents that we have now and sit them on the bench for 2 years?
So
is that really what we want?
But
just to have players we know and that
are
good?
But what I'm asking you, you still had the same amount of colleges and universities back then.
But basketball wasn't as popular. It wasn't as many players. It ain't as many players as it is today. Evolution.
It might not have been as many AAU squads and all that around there.
That's what I'm saying. Basketball's evolved.
But still, you had a lot of players.
The game has changed.
And this is something that you may want to take into consideration. I think it's a cycle. Some classes, classes, are just going to be weaker than others.
Last year.
Some is going to be stronger than others.
This year.
Senior classes back in the day, right? Because, I mean,
coming out of high school.
There are going to be some.
Yeah, cycles.
And it evens out, in my opinion.
But hold on, before you go any further, really, look at North Carolina's team right now.
Yeah.
How many on there are going to be stars at the next level?
But see, that's
hold on. I'm just saying. I know what you're saying, difference between, but we're talking about basketball talent, okay? Because we can take the top
stars,
two.
Stars, none.
Okay, so, but the two on Kentucky got a legit chance of being stars, though.
Legit chance
of being stars. And they lost to the guys who, right now, the reason they were better is because they stayed there.
Exactly.
So, what I'm saying is, their levels right here, when these cats get up here, they're going to be above them.
So why should we make the good cats stay in school to play against them?
I'm not trying to make them stay in school, D.
I feel you.
I'm twisted.
Yeah, you kind of. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're riding that line, buddy.
I'm not riding. I'm just saying the point about why the basketball to me is mediocre. That's what I'm saying in college. I think it's mediocre. But
the player's still there.
I mean, it's good now because of the tournament. And
I agree.
And if that's the case, the NBA is mediocre.
at that point because the same players is in college is in the pros.
But you were right.
But what happens to the players that stay a year? Now, look at Buddy Hield starting from the first part of the year to now.
Yeah, he's getting better.
But that's what I'm saying. If you go to the NBA, even Exum was horrible the first 2 years. Now he's starting to play because he's getting better playing against professional players. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Ain't no sense in staying in college because you're not going to get better.
All right, let's take this. We got to go to commercial. We're going to take this on into the first hour because we knew we was going to get hyped on this. So when we get back, first hour of the show, we're going to continue this conversation. College basketball and the parity that it has or it does not have. Mm. And if you have an opinion, give us a call, 404-603-8770. SRT, we'll be right back.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Dad, I'm really afraid of what's happening with the economy. There's too much civil unrest, too much terrorism, and unstable global markets. I'm tired of riding the ups and downs of the market. It reminds me of 2008. I was caught off guard then. How do I prepare for the worst now? What'll I do if the dollar collapses?
You gotta stop worrying, son, and take action. It's time to think about a precious metals private storage IRA or an investment in silver with the Gold Silver Group. Like I said before, you insure your house, your car, your kids, and your life. Don't you think it's time to insure your wealth?
Call Gold Silver Group at 800-943-0834. Learn how easy it is to set up your own precious metals private storage IRA and how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. Gold Silver Group can satisfy any of your precious metals investment needs. Receive your gold and silver fully insured and privately delivered to your door. Call Gold Silver Group, 800-943-0834, 800-943-0834.
Sports Roundtable.
Whoever discontinued Save-A-Lots. Those are the shortbread cookies with the chocolate on the back, the extra big ones used to say Save-A-Lot. Yep. Whoever discontinued that, I'm going to take your badge. Mm. All y'all little Girl Scouts selling them cookies on the corner. I'm going to walk up and I'm going to take your badge if you ain't got no Save-A-Lots. I'm going to kick your table over. I'm going to crush your Thin Mints. I'm going to lick all the coconuts off your Samoas. Get my doggone Save-A-Lots back. Get me my Save-A-Lots.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
We're back. Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. About to jump into this roundtable discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a used pre-owned or a new car, please contact Jay's Used Cars at 770-496-0339. Mention SRT or Sports Roundtable. Get a 10% discount on your down payment. Go to jaysusedcars.com for inventory. All right, so we left off by talking about college basketball, and we go kind of wind this down because we got some other things we want to talk about as far as NBA and things of that nature. The cycle of recruiting, some classes are good, some classes are bad. There are some players, in my opinion, that are overhyped. There are some players that don't get a lot of credit. Some players chooses the wrong school and just lose confidence. Some players, they buy into the hype. Now you have certain players going to certain schools because they're trying to get to the fast track of the NBA. I don't remember that back in the day. I don't remember that idea to where, well, the fastest way to get to the NBA is to go to this school. I know 1 year and I'm out. I don't even got to go to classes, you know, after December. With that being said, the cycle goes and the coaches have to keep up with this. And this is the thing that I think that D. Will is making the point to. Joe Barry was a five-star player. Mm-hmm. But he stayed 3 years. So did he reach his potential? Did he not reach his potential? Whatever the case may be, just talking about college. So he stayed 3 years, four years. Justin Jackson is a junior. Well, actually, both of them are juniors.
Oh, yeah.
Both are juniors. Meeks is a senior. Mm-hmm. They got
five stars all over the
All of them stayed.
And what'd you say about their stars? How many of their stars are legit?
Well, and that's the overhype.
So that's what I'm saying about the turnover rates.
I agree.
And these kids would have been behind other folks and still may have never even played until they senior year. Joe Barry, to me, yeah, he's balling now in college. And to a certain extent, don't get me wrong, I like his game. But it's a reason he's there 3 years.
But here's the thing. Everything, and every player, every basketball player is not supposed to go to the NBA.
I agree. So we got to stop saying
just because they were.
I don't think everybody went to the pros back then either. Don't get me wrong. Right. We on the same page.
So my point is, like, to what Horace was saying, if a five-star, like this year, it's 11 freshmen that are going in the first round. 11.
And how many of them you think really ready to play at the next level?
9. Maybe 10.
All of them?
Yeah. This is a great class. You see what I'm saying?
I like ball.
Joe Barry year, it wasn't a lot. But that
give me 5 of them.
All right, I'm going to take
Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith Jr.
He definitely ready.
Definitely. Yeah. Joe Barry. Okay. I mean, I just said Joe Barry. Yeah. Lonzo Ball.
I'm with you on Ball.
Markel Fultz.
I'm jury out on him, man.
Josh Jackson.
I saw him play a couple times. Josh Jackson is probably the best player in the class.
Let's get that.
I like Josh.
Josh Jackson, the best player in the class.
Miles Bridges.
Miles Bridges. He's gonna be good.
Kind of shaky with that.
Yeah. Markkanen from
Bridges
Arizona.
From MSU, Michigan State's Bridges.
I gotta see Markkanen.
Markkanen from Arizona.
I gotta see him some more.
Markkanen gotta get stronger. Yeah, but if Frank the Tank can play and he's playing well,
thank you.
He can play. Markkanen will be
because he got more.
TJ Leaf from UCLA, also fresh.
Who's that?
TJ Leaf.
But this is the thing, though, Han. And I think this comes from your Laker impatience.
Oh,
you gotta give them time. You get when they go, you gotta give them time. Just, because
this ain't Sacramento.
You know what he's saying?
LA ain't Sacramento.
Hey, you know what he's saying?
LA ain't Charlotte. But we don't have
the props though. Listen, you gonna either give them time in the NBA or you gonna give them time in college. They need the time regardless.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They're not gonna be that player. Like,
I ain't gonna be able to do it. He got to go.
Hey, show up or go home.
That's it. Watch this.
How good was Walter Berry?
Walter Berry, the truth. And in college, he was a beast. But he could only go one way.
but what happened?
But he didn't make it. Walter Berry wasn't the NBA player.
But in college?
In college, he was the truth.
All world.
Bad boy. All
right.
But give me Chris Mullin. Hey. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree.
I mean, I'm just saying, there's certain players I look at.
But you gave Chris Mullin 3 years in college, so he could develop.
Yeah.
So he got
Mullin
ready.
Probably was he was a pro his first year.
That's what I'm saying. But let him but go he had, there. He still would have took 2 years to learn the game.
Ask who was his point guard?
Jack Mark. Mark.
That's our most team, man. Come on.
But that's what I'm talking about. You look at those teams. And they kept coming back for at least the next year.
But I'm saying, know what it is? It was more teams. It's more teams in the NBA now also. It's been expansion.
Yeah.
So back then, it was, 26, 28 teams maybe? Was it that many? I don't think it was probably that many. We got a lot of expansion. You can always go back to the Miami Heat.
28.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember Miami. Grizzlies Miami came in 88, 89.
Toronto.
So.
They created some franchises.
Toronto, Vancouver. Who else came in?
Miami was in 99.
Yeah.
89.
Yeah. Miami and Minnesota came together. Yeah. Yeah. And Orlando and Charlotte.
So you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's been expansion.
So it's diluted a little bit.
13 players per roster.
Come on now.
5 teams. That's a lot.
And we even got an NBDL now.
Right.
Yeah. So you see how many basketball players it is? And overseas is still booming. Players still go over there and make a lot of money. So it's like basketball has went global. So it's so many more players because a lot of those draft picks, we talking about these American kids that didn't go. Let's talk about these foreigners that they didn't brought from overseas that busted out. Those are taking draft picks.
You know what that was about. Yeah. That was about they wanted a product on money. The floor that people could see and kind of look like them.
Exactly.
And that's what that was about.
So, but still, those
might
roster
not
spots
talk were, to him, but those. Like
hey, listen, that's Joel Berry's spot. You know how many Joel Berry's it was in the NBA back in the day? You see what I'm saying? Mediocre players who shouldn't have been pro players that yeah. were in the pros.
Joel Berry, if he'd have been back in North Carolina when Carolina was, he would have been the ball boy. He'd have been get your bags and whatever.
And he had, he'd have had a better haircut.
Yeah,
but he would have made it to the league.
All right, let's go. Celtics, number one team in the East right now. Surprise? Not surprise? Shock? What emotion?
I want to know from Sport the Hero, does it matter?
I think it matters by watching the way Cleveland's playing right now. I think there are three teams in the East that can give them series. I'm not saying they could beat them, but I think the way Cleveland has a trouble guarding, you know, they were defending 2 years ago for the last 2 years. They could defend. They were at least middle of the pack and better defense if you look at the stats. Right now, they're in the bottom half in every statistical category on defense. Mm. I mean, you have gotten players in there and influx with Kyle Korver, with Deron Williams, and already Kyrie doesn't defend well. Love doesn't defend well.
JR don't guard nobody.
That's what I'm saying. So what you've done, yeah, you can score when you're hot. But when it comes down to having to lock somebody down, they're having problems. I mean, people are running. They're just parading through the lane.
But do you think in a seven-game series, I understand, you said that you they probably couldn't beat them. You said that.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying it's going to be
in
tough.
In a seven-game series, do you think any team in the East has the offensive prowess to keep up with that? Because out of seven games,
Washington does.
They can score with
Washington, with the way that they're able to now shoot it with Beal and what's the kid from
Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah. Stretching the floor a little bit. Your guy.
Kelly Oubre. Baby.
Oubre has stepped it up. I've looked at him and I was like, Hawks should have got
Cleveland 23rd.
But anyway, they're what?
23rd
in defense?
Giving up points.
See, I mean, it's bad.
Okay.
You know, it's bad. And yeah, they don't defend, man, at all. They do not defend.
Well, let's talk about what Boston does. They got the number one seed right now.
Right.
They play as a team. They rugged. They play like Butler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They defend you.
They defend.
And they tough.
They got three dogs out there that'll defend. That'll
right.
Go out and defend.
Yes.
On the perimeter.
Bradley, Smart, and Crowder.
Yes.
And Amir Johnson is,
he
will fight you in the middle.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. He ain't no punk.
Yeah, and Olenek will bang in the middle. I mean, they got some bodies to come.
Hey, Olenek knocked Kevin Love out the game, so you know he don't care.
And he can step out and bring your center out and make the shot.
And he's big.
So
and you got, and then the other thing is, they got a killer. We've had this conversation.
A very small one.
We've had this conversation that I always say I don't think he can carry them.
Right.
Now he's in a position to show, can he carry them?
Exactly.
And I know he's a killer. But I just don't think he is going to be enough.
They got to help him.
Exactly. Yeah,
they got to help him. He's got to get some scoring from some other place.
And
they
that's my point. Do you think that out of the players we just named, Crowder's not going to give you that score. Smart's not going to give you
Bradley's
that score.
Bradley's the only one that
Bradley can give
possibly
you on a night. He can't give it to you. He's not going to average 25 for a series.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Kelly Olynyk's not
going to. But if the game is ugly. And the way that Cleveland has problem defending.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. If you can't defend, you're going to keep them in the game.
All right,
and
G,
now they have home court advantage.
Another angle I looked at this is that, all right, Cleveland is now second. I feel like they're trying to avoid low-key the hottest team in the league, which is Miami. They're the AC right now, and they've been playing like – they've been winning like 70% since the All-Star break.
What place is Washington in?
Third.
They're in third.
So I'm gonna tell you right now, Cleveland don't want the second seed
because
they don't
want
to catch Washington in the second round. They want to stay away from that. Exactly. Don't nobody want John Wall. John Wall is like, okay, I'm in DC. Y'all ain't talking about me. I'm in a small market, getting it.
The other night when they stepped on the floor from Jump Street playing Cleveland, it was like, we getting this one tonight, and you can see it.
Yeah, they ain't scared.
They were not scared.
That was in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
You can see when teams kind of grow up a little bit, and they look like, even last night, on a bad game, when the Lakers were beating them,
they flip the switch. And that's what I wait to see the veteran team do. Say like, okay, enough is enough. Let's go. And they hit it and went to another gear, took care of business. And they beat it. They did. You know, we look for them to lose that type of game. You know what I mean? After a big win, then come back and lose a game they shouldn't lose. But last night, nah. They said, we're not dropping this one. And they went and got it. So that's a sign of maturity to me.
What's the coach's name?
For who?
Scott Brooks.
Do you trust him? Because we've seen him in this situation before.
Funny you said that. We had a conversation the other night. He was asking me about Scott Brooks. We were talking about the chemistry issues that Wall and Beal have had. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to kind of right that ship and make things. Yeah, exactly. He made a defense.
He did.
But one thing I saw last night that kind of made me take pause. I was watching it. Wall hit a shot at the end to seal the game. And everybody was excited except Bradley Beal. I stopped it to watch it.
I know what you done. You've been watching that Gino Auriemma video about body language.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't watched it, but I'm with it. And what I saw was everybody was excited.
Except him.
And you know what? That is so underrated.
See?
Oh, extremely.
It's so underrated.
Extremely.
Remember, I asked you last year. I said, when have you seen...
You were talking about Clay.
Draymond Green dap up Clay. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen them dap each other?
I've seen it this year.
Yeah,
another game. The game deprived the basket.
But I feel what you're saying. Yeah. It's a good shot, good pass. Down. Right.
And truly be excited for him. Like,
exactly.
You know.
Hey, but you know who a good example of that? And I want to know if y'all remember this when they were in college. Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters in college. Somebody for Syracuse hit a winning shot. Everybody rushed him. But he was on the side like this. He didn't pass him, but he made the shot and they won.
That was Shabazz Muhammad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You saw he was like Deion. Clapping for the ball. Yeah. He didn't get it. The guy hits the shot.
UCLA.
My fault, yeah. Deion Waiters. I'm sorry. That was Shabazz Muhammad. But look at him still. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Same player.
Me just seeing that kind of like gave me a little pause last night.
Yeah. That could be. All right. So we understand that Cleveland. We are concerned about Cleveland. So we're going to move that down to this. Booker goes for 70. Woo. Devin Booker goes for 70, playing for the Suns, if you didn't know. But they lose by 10. Impressed or not impressed?
You ever heard of the tallest guy at a small fella party? That's probably what it was. He was the tallest guy at a short people party.
Yeah.
They lost.
Yeah.
They lost. So to be standing there taking pictures and writing 70 on the paper and all that, you know, you want to be excited. Okay, he did something good, but you lost the game. If the goal is to win the game, 70 doesn't mean anything.
I'm gonna contradict myself. Because I'm finna jump on your bandwagon. Because
get in the car.
I'm getting in the car with you. He's 20 years old. And we said it earlier, he should still be in college.
Yeah.
Everybody on the team, Eric Bledsoe, he would be, what, 1 year out of college?
One year out.
You got Tyler Lewis, Brandon, all these Kentucky guys, too, were named on
Kentucky,
this
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
So all these guys.
LaBissier is on the team.
Come on
Kentucky.
Now.
Yeah,
LaBissier,
whatever his name.
LaBissier.
Yeah.
He's on the Kings.
Yeah,
with the Kings, they traded him. Then they traded him on draft day.
Yeah.
I think he got drafted. He got traded draft day. That's right.
But so I'm saying all these kids are 26 and younger. Half of them should still be. I think Eric Bledsoe is the oldest. So to them, that 70, this AAU, it's more important than the win.
Definitely.
Hey, I got 70. Yeah. We lost. It don't matter.
It don't matter.
We in Florida. We balling. I got 70.
They had the third worst record in the league. So
yeah,
it was something to be happy about, I think.
They sorry, but still.
When Kobe went for 81, they were getting killed, and he turned it up, and they ended up winning the game.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? He had to get 81. When I see everybody just throwing the ball and letting him shoot after shoot after shoot, when you get 70 in the Florida game, I kind of feel more, you know.
At the end of the game, they were just giving him the ball.
Right, it was just letting him go. Like 12, 15 shots
in
a row.
He was on fire.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I know.
He only hit 4-3.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He has game.
We're going to talk MVP conversation a little later.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So now, this is the thing, though. Let me give a baseball analogy real quick.
if you have 45 home runs for the season, none of them, none of the home runs happened over past the sixth inning, neither tied the game or put the game ahead, and you're still in last place.
What does it mean?
What's the point?
Exactly. That's why I didn't like Andre Dawkins getting the MVP the year when the Cubs.
That's 89.
See? Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's, I can't wait till we talk MVP, too.
There you go. All right, so let's go to this real quick. The claw goes at LeBron again. Let's make this real quick. I have been in the car. I'm probably in the front seat driving now with this Kawhi Leonard thing. Hancock can attest to this. I've always been a guy that loves players who don't talk, who just plays. And that's all he does.
Yeah.
In the last three games against LeBron, he has killed LeBron. Killed him. Blocking shots, taking his ball, dunking on him. Actually made him go out the game this time. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, do you think, like, LeBron sold that getting hit in the back?
Oh, my God. Ah!
Listen.
Oh, my
God. They were getting drilled by 30. So the headlines will read, they lost by 30, but LeBron left the game in the third quarter.
Sniper. Like, somebody shot him, listen, man. Come on, man.
Go ahead, D-Will.
Hey, man, that thing, that elbow hurt.
D-Will.
I'm sorry. D-Will. It don't have to look like much to be much.
Paul Pierce, give me the wheelchair because I heard that.
Come on. That was not that.
I'm going to tell you, he was overly dramatic.
He was and overly LeBron dramatic. Was too. No, I'm saying LeBron was with the fall and the and
he stayed on the ground 10 minutes.
Yeah, I got to lay on my back. I agree. Now, but I try.
I thought James Earl Ray had reincarnated and shot it.
Damn, man.
I thought the sniper got it.
I know that's right. All right, real quick. Let me ask this question and we'll jump to MVP. If you were the Falcons, drafting at 31, D-Will, I'm going to start with you. Who would you draft if these players are available? T.J. Watt, Forrest Lamp, Cliff Harris, Tim Williams, Jabril Peppers.
Why you asking? You put Alabama player in there. You know who you take.
Girl, I don't know. Yeah,
like, I'm probably taking Tim Williams. Just being honest. I'm looking at the personnel of the Falcons. I like Jabril. I'm going to be honest because we dissected this over and over. You can check us out on srtradio.com if you want to get the archive shows. But, man, I think that pass rush is needed. I think that if you solidify the other side coming off with Vic Beasley, coming off the year he had, if you put another one of those guys on the other side to do the same thing, you got your bookend ends, you're already good in the back end. You're getting better. You're young and you're getting better. Why not go ahead and solidify that defensive line?
Yeah.
Go on, tell them who you said.
I like being better, closer to the ball, too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I love Tim Williams, but I think what he does is rush the pass. I think that Watt kid does a lot more. He stops the run. He can actually rush the pass. Also, I thought he ain't just trying to pull him because of his brother.
Yeah, it's his brother.
He can play.
He can play.
He can definitely play. And I think he's given the right situation. And we've seen what Quinn can do with players. He puts them in the best situation for him. He could also do that with Tim Williams. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the size of Watt and what he can bring with those arms and how he come, he'd be hard to pass up right now. I'd like to see him on that team too.
D Minor, who would you draft if you were the Falcons? Out of those.
Where does Tim Williams play? I mean, no, like what position?
Defensive end.
It's a 3-4 end?
Yes.
Came out of Bama. Falcons play?
Yes. Falcons and Bama play very, very, very similar defense.
Well, they use a Leo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he could definitely fit in there.
Yeah.
And they need a pass. I think that's what all came down to last season. Mm-hmm. They need a pass. They need more of a pass rush. They need to bulk that up.
So
Tim, thinking,
yeah.
Okay. All right. We got about 6 minutes. Give me your top four MVP race candidates.
NBA?
NBA.
Top four is Russell.
In order. If in you order, one, order. One to four or four to one.
You know, I told you 2 weeks ago LeBron's MVP. But I don't say that anymore.
Okay.
Man, in order. I think they're going to – I'd have to –
Just give me your race. My one race? Through four, give me what you – how you would rank these in the MVP race as of today.
Yeah. The way I've seen Kawhi play now, I think he's up. And I'm giving my vote to him right now.
Okay, Kawhi won.
Kawhi's won. I think I go with the beard two.
Harden two.
And I go with Russell three.
And who's four? LeBron?
Yeah, you had to go with LeBron four.
All right, you will.
That man crazy.
And I tell you why later. And I know what you're about to talk about.
Russell Westbrook is the runaway MVP.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like everybody in the race, but he Usain Bolt.
Why? Because of the triple doubles?
No. That has a lot to do with it. But here's the thing. Take a look at that roster. Mm-hmm. He has them at 5-6, they like half a game or something. They 5 or 6 in the Western Conference.
Okay.
They just lost KD and Ibaka. They're the other two-headed monster to the three-man weave. And he is still has them fifth. Listen, he averages a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
He has, in the games that he gets a triple-double, they are 31-6. So if he doesn't get a triple-double, mm-hmm. they don't win. You see what I'm saying? So if we're talking value in the NBA, he is the most valuable player. Because if you take Russell Westbrook off that roster, they fighting for the lottery.
What you think?
The most ping pong balls.
What you think Cleveland doing if LeBron ain't on
I think they're good.
They
I think
3-20 when
hey, listen. I understand.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, that you can't argue that.
You can't.
3-20.
But I'm saying they have a Kyrie Irving.
But he ain't.
But here's,
they had Kyrie Irving before he got there.
Let me get it out.
Go ahead.
They have to change the way they play without LeBron. When LeBron is out now, they're still playing the way they would play if LeBron was there. If they no longer have LeBron, they change the entire scheme to fit Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. So now they play different basketball. Now they get different pieces in mm-hmm. to build around Kyrie and Kevin Love. Now, if we're talking about the way they're currently constructed, of course, if you take LeBron off that team, that's the best. But if you get the coach in and LeBron's out from the beginning of the season, say LeBron go out in the first week, now we can change our offense and defense to fit those two guys. I think they would still be very competitive in the Eastern Conference, maybe even top three.
I don't know. They don't play defense.
Look at the roster.
I just don't know.
They can still score.
Think when you add LeBron, what he does is make that whole team go.
I agree with that.
If you look at his stat line, he's about two or three pieces away from his own triple-double.
If Russell was out in week one like LeBron, we just did LeBron, where is Oklahoma
City? They out too.
No, well,
they out.
Cleveland ain't out.
Well, they have a construction.
They have to reconstruct their roster too.
Yeah, of course. But they don't have the players to reconstruct around. You see where I'm going?
What I'm saying about Russell is I think, and I hate it, but I think a lot of them stats are padded. I was watching the other night on free throws, and the bigs block out. He runs from up the top to get an easy rebound.
Hey, that's a rebound.
You see what I'm saying? They're constructing the rebound things for him. This is one point, and I want y'all to understand what I'm saying here. All we've heard for the last 2 years is that these cats wouldn't do that if they played back in this day. They wouldn't do that. He wouldn't score this way. He wouldn't get 30 here. They wouldn't do that. I have yet to hear somebody say Russell wouldn't average a triple-double if he played back then.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because the bigs back then would have been putting them things on.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He wouldn't be coming to the lane the way he coming in that lane all the time. And he might score, but I'm telling you, all this, if he wouldn't be
so
able
how did,
to get
how
the
did, how,
that,
how,
that
how,
they
how did, That's, how did Oscar Robertson do it? He got the boards.
How many times did he do? What I'm saying is, D, it ain't something that was done over these times where everybody's saying, if it was that easy, everybody be doing it.
But that's what I'm saying. He's doing it now, and that's all that matters.
All right, D, go ahead.
All I'm saying is, all right, same token.
Number four, LeBron. Number three, Kawhi. Number two, Harden. And number one, I got Westbrook. He's this is a, seems to be a more impressive triple-double season because the pace is actually slower than when it was with Oscar Robertson. And yeah, he had a size advantage because he's a 6'5 point guard, but where would, the question remains, like, where would Oklahoma City be without Westbrook? They might be where Phoenix is right now, or worse.
They'd be fighting with that.
All right, we got to go.
Who else was on that team with Oscar?
When he averaged a triple-double?
Yeah.
Nope. No, we'll talk about that during the break. But look, let me give you mine, and we got to go to break real quick. One, I'm going with Harden. One,
no.
Kawhi.
After that
two.
Argument I just gave,
yeah, I don't agree with it. Harden one, Kawhi two, Russ three, and LeBron four.
I ain't finished mine out. I got Russ, Harden, Claw, and LeBron.
And what I'm saying is, we'll never know how good the players are if he keeps shooting.
Ain't that what he's supposed to do? They got to score to win.
I mean, we if quiet is kept.
Double-digit assists.
Quiet is kept. I understand. I understand the numbers. And we all say numbers do lie sometimes.
They do.
This is what I'm saying. If you take Kawhi off San Antonio,
I think Pop got them straight anyway.
Well, but take Pop out of the and look
ain't
at
though.
But look at the roster.
I understand, but Pop is there.
But look at the but we ain't say look at the coach when it's time to talk about OKC
because they don't have Pop.
But if they had Pop, then did that make?
But we're talking about what actually is tangible.
All right, let's do it like this. If you take leave Pop's out of it, let's compare the roster that
much better. It's much worse. San Antonio's roster is worse than all the teams we just
exactly.
named.
Exactly.
But no, those teams don't have Pop. That is the difference.
Well,
like I said, is I think Russ is a beneficiary of some padded stats.
You hate. That's hate.
I'm just watching. But, okay, what I'm saying is, what happened when he played against a team that defended him the other night?
Hey, listen, we can go game by game. It's 82 of them. We can go game by game.
No, we ain't going to go game by game.
No, I'm just saying.
That's not fair.
That's what I'm saying. That's not fair.
I'm just saying, though, when I watch in some of the rebounds he getting,
I dig it.
I'm like, come on.
Well, hold on. Well, let's do
but
it like this.
17.
They backing up to give him rebounds.
38 and 17.
But let's do it. But let's do it like this. We poo-pooed James Harden at the beginning of the season. Like, what the hell is he doing playing point guard?
Listen, I'm eating crow. I said it. I didn't see it.
And he got him in third place.
Yeah. He's doing great.
Yeah, he's
third.
Doing great,
look at his
roster, though.
Hold on.
And MVP's playing for net offense, though.
Thank you. It's the X factor. Russ don't have that X factor. He got Billy Donovan.
And that's his problem then. Hey, man, let's go to break. We get back to Sean Tate. Bidding, we got some more to talk about. SRT Sports Roundtable.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Hinkville. AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's it. $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/GregHurd. That's GREGHURD. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? That's between us. Fiverr.com/GregHurd. Hit me up and I hope to hear from you soon.
Sports Roundtable.
All right, look, every Uber driver is using their phone or they have the GPS for navigation. Like, I have an iPhone 6S Plus. It's a big enough screen to where if I put it on my dash and it's like on the mount and you have the GPS, I'm following those directions. As a passenger, you don't have to tell me where to turn. I already see it.
Got the GPS talking.
It's like you telling me I can't read.
Oh.
I'm in the left lane. I have my blinker on already.
It's on my turn left.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the green arrow to turn left. You're going to make a left here. Oh, really?
You're going to get out here.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
AHO.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right.
We got Tiff. Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in, pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams.
Oh.
SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk. Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlanta Station. We're back for the second hour of the show. It's sweaty in here and it's hot. We was turning it up in the first hour talking to MVP talk. Listen, give us your top four MVP race. You can post them on Facebook Live. You can actually post them. Yeah, post them on Facebook Live. We'll see what you got. One through four, four through one, don't matter how you do it. Got Deshaun Tate in the building coming up. Second hour of the show. Give us a call, 404-603-8770. First hour, man, it was hype. Going all the way in it. You ain't got G-Money. Got on the Westbrook bandwagon.
Fired him up. Hey, man, I'm telling you. Listen, I gave a very compelling argument. You see what I'm saying?
Padded stats.
I didn't need convincing.
No, I'm saying
like you. It was a great argument, but I was already there.
Yeah, I know. See, he don't want to give me my props. See, it's all he had to do was get in the car.
He's going to get it.
Yeah.
He's going to get it,
MVP.
As he should.
He's the player of the year.
He's going to get it.
Ain't that this?
He's the player of the year.
He's gonna get
it. In baseball, they play the year.
Oh, see, here we go to a game. Now we're not even talking sports no more. We're talking a game. Like, where we going with this?
Facebook Live, homeboy giving Gonzaga some love. J3 from Memphis on the Zags. That's from Eric Vincent.
There you go.
I didn't say that 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. It's still homeboy. We got to represent.
Got to represent.
Memphis, baby. All
right, G, with that being said, man, let's get to this second hour of this roundtable discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable Discussion. Sponsored by Queen Design. If you want your web, if your website is homeless, or if you're homeless on the web, visit queendesign.com, the best website designer around. Trust me when I tell you, you can go to srtradio.com and check it out. Even got Mr. Deshaun Tate article on there, baby. Speaking of Deshaun Tate, he's in the building. The most traveled guy that I know these days.
Grinding.
For 3 weeks.
Grinding.
He's put miles after miles after miles. And speaking of miles, he will be taking off for the Final Four. Probably tomorrow, Friday, which will be some more miles. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back again. He's family. He's our brother, 92.9's own Deshaun Tate.
Man, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm like, it's difficult, man, because I'm like sad and glad all at the same time. Like, a lot of people are like, you know what? You got like the most awesome job in the world. And although I definitely do agree with that, but it is very overwhelming, very time consuming. You gotta love sports, man.
Yes, yes sir.
You gotta mind not looking at hard legs all day long. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about from sun up to sundown, and even more when everyone else is sleeping. You gotta be up studying it, researching it, reading it, writing it, the whole nine. So, you know, I'm gonna be mad when it's all over with, but I'm gonna be glad a little bit.
Get a rest.
Very excited to be in here with y'all, man.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
But it's NBA after that. So, you know, looking forward to some playoffs with the Hawks. And, you know, of course, after that is going to be some draft and summer league.
You had to look too low.
All that type of stuff, man. So, there it is. All
right. So, let's get a hometown some love first. Okay. Georgia Tech makes it to the NIT Finals. Mm-hmm. You got to be proud of that because you saw that kind of develop, because I know you covered the Georgia Tech basketball season this year.
Sure.
So you got to be proud of what they've accomplished and all of this stuff. So kind of give us a little bit of thoughts on Georgia Tech and them at least making it to the, and they play Thursday night, tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really happy with what they've been able to do to be able to bounce back. And I mean, they're not back to their typical or regular Georgia Tech form of old, but at the end of the day, you just have to be with the way that they've done it. Success is one thing, but how they've gone about being successful is something totally different. So, I mean, just, you know, I heard Josh Pastner talking a lot about how the magic number for them is number 70. If they get to 70 points, then they're really, really, really good. You can look this stuff up in regards to winning those games with their record. And talked about Josh Okogie, who was not even a top 50 player in the state of Georgia. Not in the country, but even in the state of Georgia, he wasn't even a top 50 player. And he just broke the freshman record of Mark Price.
Yeah.
And still chasing... who's he chasing? He's chasing Stephon Marbury and Kenny Anderson in those regards for that category as well. So from that standpoint, you got to tip your hat. They had him, Ben Lammers, who only averaged like 3.5 points per game last year. Now he's averaging 11 more on top of that this year. One of the best shot blockers and most improved players in the country. And they were concerned about not being able to get anybody else production-wise to go with those two. But here comes Todrick Jackson and bringing him off the bench. He can light it up. And then even more so, this guy, Quentin Stevens, who is, I think, started like 134 games in his career now as a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, the only returning senior. When he came back, talking about a little more than 7 points per game leading the score for this team. And so now with his production and his confidence, they've gotten to this point, man. You got to tip your hat. You got to give credit.
All right, so with that all being said, imagine this. If Georgia Tech win the NIT, if UNC wins the national championship, the ACC would have a clean sweep in college football and in college basketball.
That's speaking some volume about a conference that got 12 teams in between the NIT, both the NIT and the ACC tournament. I mean, it does speak some kind of
body language. Look,
but the rest of the teams, I mean, the rest of the teams fell out real early. So I don't like to make this thing out to be about conferences, because I don't think any of the conferences around the country this year really outweigh. I mean, some were more top heavy than others and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, who's supposed to be there in the end are the teams going to be there in the end. So I'm not really a big advocate for teams representing conferences.
Right.
You represent your team. Mm-hmm. If Alabama win championship, it shouldn't be Georgia fans running around talking about we did something as a conference.
You bet not.
I'm not with that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You did it as a team. You didn't do it as a conference. That's the type of dude.
I got you. All right, so Final Four is here. How did they get there with the four teams? We got Oregon, UNC, Gonzaga, and South Carolina.
Right.
I think probably most impressive of all of those was, I'd say, South Carolina, because they beat a 2 in Duke, a 3 in Baylor, and a 4 in Florida. So as far as impressive, I think that they were the most impressive, and they're the unique story. You know, they're the unique storyline.
If you want to call it,
If you want to call it a Cinderella, but it has that feel. They're making it to not only, you know, their first Sweet 16 in school history, their first Elite Eight in school history, obviously their first Final Four in school history. And they are the most confident team that's remaining and have been probably the most confident team in the NCAA tournament since the second, the first weekend, but yeah, like the second game of the tournament. So all things being considered, you got to tip your hat. I think that they're getting a little more respect than what Oregon is getting coming into the Final Four. And I know some people had Oregon getting this far at the beginning of the season before they lost two back-to-back games. Some people even had them number one. We'll see if they have a chance to finish number one.
Are you surprised that there are no super freshmen, one-and-done freshmen in the Final Four?
There might be some one-and-done freshmen, but we not the ones, the Markelle Fultz isn't playing, right. and Josh Jackson, Lonzo Ball, so on and so forth. But there's a guy in North Carolina named Tony Bradley. I don't think he's going to leave,
right.
But he's a stud. He shouldn't. But neither should the rest. Neither should anybody whose last name is not Ball, is not Jackson, that being Josh Jackson,
the ones you just named.
And I think that there's one more. Maybe Malik Monk could probably be ready too, maybe. But outside of them, I don't think any of the freshmen should leave. But from that standpoint, you know, we had an opportunity to see Kenny Williams, who gives a lot of production for North Carolina as well. But there was a stud probably about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the top players in the country, and although he's still that, he fell to about the top 20, named Seventh Woods for North Carolina. He's obviously not there, and he's not ready to make that jump to the NBA yet. But one thing I will say is that he's one of the more phenomenal freshmen. Zach Collins for Gonzaga is a really good, really, really good guy. I mean, this dude has basketball talent. Like the start, he comes off the bench. So Shemek Karnowski, obviously the starter, the big man in the middle, is
the mountain man.
He's their guy, and that's obvious. But he's a big man. He's not a basketball talent.
No, he's not.
This kid, Zach Collins, is a basketball talent. He's a legitimate 7-footer. And he will go in there and punch that thing on you too.
Yes,
he has very, very, he's very good around the basket, as well as he rebounds the ball well. He can score the basketball as well. And he's only a freshman, and I like what he's been able to do as well. Now, last but not least, there's a kid from Oregon that a lot of people don't know nothing about. He's won the state championship in the state all 4 years. And his name is Peyton Pritchard. He's a backup guard. He's a backup point guard. But this guy can really come in and play some legitimate basketball. So we don't have the star power freshmen, but we do have some freshmen that's coming in and getting not only legitimate minutes, but legitimate production for the respective teams that's going to be playing this weekend.
Best player in the Final Four, in your opinion?
I think it's really even. I think it's really even. I mean, because I see deficiencies in every single player that could be in contention for it. I think that I could say Dylan Brooks here. I don't think he may be the greatest NBA talent or for the next level, or even the best player right now.
Gotta get with the right squad.
But he does have the most heart of anybody that could be named the best player in that's remaining left in this tournament. Now, of course, Sindarius Thornwell is the big name that everybody has been talking about lately, in which I still think that if you're the best player, we're going to find out if you're the best player this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I get all the other stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
but
right.
This isn't – they're not going up against a team where they're going to say, you know what, we're going to look over these guys. You know, every single team that's here deserves to be here. They've all won 4 games. But Gonzaga's not going to take South Carolina the same way the other 4 teams took South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a believer in that. And Justin Jackson, of course, last but not least, is that guy. I'm not a big Nigel Williams-Goss guy, so I don't want to go there. I don't think he's the best guy on his team. I think Jonathan Williams from Memphis is that guy. But when you talk about Justin Jackson, I think that what he doesn't have is what Bryce Johnson had last year. I don't think he really has that dog. He disappeared during some very key stretches in the tournament.
All right. What now? Tyler Dorsey is somebody that has carried Oregon.
That's the guy.
Jordan Bell has helped him out a lot.
That's too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about scoring wise. Sure. Tyler has picked it up. Once was a commit to Arizona, decommitted. Goes to Oregon, and
has really turned his game up after Boussier has gone out. Obviously, Jordan Bell, who has just been on, he's been beasting since last. I think they played against Duke, and he gave him 13 and 12 or something like that. So, you know, those are, in my opinion, the underrated type players that you may see this weekend that we probably overlook, in my opinion.
I can see that. I can see that for sure. But to me, that's what good players do.
Yeah.
And that's what good role players do. That's what the good surrounding cast does, because Jordan Bell is not the guy for this team. Neither is Tyler Dorsey. That's Dylan Brooks. And right. What makes you a good player, which I think a lot of people have kind of overlooked him, but what makes him a good player is being able to complement the star player well. And that's not easy to do. Sometimes if you're coming off the bench or if you're not the quote-unquote guy and all the attention is going to someone else. That's what makes you a better player, by being able to come in, fill the void, play your position, know your role, and in a lot of cases, those are the guys that end up making better pros at the end of the day than the star player initially.
I got you. Does Gonzaga have your respect now? Or anybody's respect
they
at this
do.
Point?
They do and don't. I think they obviously got my respect for at least getting to this point. I can't disrespect them in that case, but because they did do this. I mean, this is, even though I feel like it's something that's long overdue, this is something that actually did finally happen. I feel the way that I feel about Gonzaga because I feel like it should have been done earlier, but I don't want to sound as if I'm the one that has the sour grapes because they didn't do it sooner. At least they did it. They maybe didn't do it to, you know, in the time frame of my liking, but it happened. And so I respect the fact that they could have dropped it just like they did every other year,
right.
You know, for all we know, and expect it to probably happen. There's probably a lot of people that's more surprised that they actually did it than didn't do it. But that, like I said, I've always said that, you know, I will give them credit because I give all four teams credit. It's not easy to win four games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have very much time to prepare for teams. And not only that, but you got the number one on your back and the big red target, and everybody's gunning for you. And I don't think people pay that much attention either. It's hard to go up against, you know, all the critics and all that kind of stuff. So I do give them credit, even though it didn't happen to my liking. So I do take a little bit of credit away from them for that, because I think they had better teams before this.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to give credit to a team that is still playing right now this time of the year.
All right, I'm going to bring you in to what we had earlier.
Uh-oh.
All right? I couldn't wait. I was going to wait a little longer. I'm going
to go. Baby.
Let's go. So we were having the conversation of, is today's basketball, college basketball, is it more of parity now, where you still have your stars like a Kentucky that had all these freshmen, but you have a team per se like a South Carolina with a bunch of upperclassmen
that were built
from the bottom? Like they weren't centered around getting one and dones.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that is a better game then or a better game now, when you had your Georgetowns or your those type programs where each year you knew the players that were going to be there? Now it's, you really can't attached to a player or a program, because every year the turnover is so much, you never know what you're getting. Which do you think is a better path of basketball?
I think if there was a way that you could combine both, I think that's where you would have the best brand of basketball possible.
Don't you think we have that now, though?
Nah.
You don't?
I don't. And I honestly, looking at the Big East this year, as it was stronger this year than it has been in past years, I do miss the St. John's and just programs in general. I do miss the St. John's and Georgetown's and all those teams that once were but don't seem to be that anymore. I like the fact that kids are going to other schools. You know, there's a kid playing in the McDonald's All-American game right now from right up the road, Colin Sexton, who's going to Alabama.
Hey, hold on now. Slow down now.
I mean, it is what it is. True, but I like the fact that kids are going to different schools to try to not only knock off the Kentuckys and Dukes. That's one reason why Markelle Fultz said he went to Washington instead of going to one of the big-name schools, is because guys want to put their own stamp on a program, and I can respect that. Now, one thing I'm not a big fan of that I think is kind of messing up the game right now is obviously, and there, a lot of them are getting it from the NBA, that they want to play with their buddies and click up and
LeBron factor
and all that kind of stuff. And it's not just LeBron. It's some other ones, too. But all that being said, I'm blaming some of that. I don't like to say blame because it sounds like a negative word, but the reality is that I blame a lot of that on the stuff that's happening right now within a combination of two things, AAU and these prep schools, you know, like little small colleges is what I like to call them. And it all started with Oak Hill, but you don't really get to see because you don't really know what a lot of these kids really can and cannot do because of the surrounding cast that they are playing with. When these guys go to Kentucky, you don't really know what you really have until it's time to go to the NBA, you know? So now it's all about IMG and everybody joining forces.
What's the one out there in Vegas?
Finley Prep.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. I mean, I'm still a young dude, you know what I'm saying? But I have the old soul or the older mindset that I like to see guys come from their respective communities or hoods.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
because
doubt.
Now you have guys that are going to just jumping around more than Konzo Martin has jumped around from coaching, you know, coaching from school to school. So guys are going from Finley Prep and then going to Huntington Prep in West Virginia and turn around going to Prolific Prep over in California.
And Mount Verde.
Yeah, and they're all over the place. I like when guys stay home, go to the schools they probably was brought up in, their parents probably went and graduated from them schools. Stay in your own little lane, in your own hood, because that kind of tells me a little bit more about you as a player than going and joining forces with somebody.
I see, but I think what the problem is now is the high school teams travel they travel like college, like you said. Mm-hmm. And it's different than just winning your region and winning your state. They used to be big. But now everybody's shooting to win the USA team,
the national
championship. So you go with play, please. But I just want to get one point you were talking about basketball then versus now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I'm saying is that the influx of a freshman, he might come and add to a program. Let's think about it. When Jordan went to Carolina, Worthy was there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Those type of things. When Ewing went to Georgetown, Sleepy Floyd and the boys were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he
had this kid named Horace Broadnax.
Broadnax, you're right. and the Brown kid. I mean, those people, you had added players that came in and made that team better to the upperclassmen.
True.
And what I'm saying now is, like you said, they click up, and Kentucky might have a whole five of new players next year, you know.
But I think we will.
And here's my thing.
They got four in the McDonald's.
And I think here's where we get confused on it, because I think college players get a bad rep because every kid, whether he's a 1 to 5 star, it's not about if he's going to be turn out to be a good player. It's how does he equate to the NBA. That's all we talk about. You see? And I think that's where the issue lies with today's college basketball. It's the same game as it was back then. We got the same players that stay 3 and 4 years. But the upper echelon players, they're able to leave early. That's the only difference. So we're still getting that. But I think we're giving basketball a bad rap, saying it's not the same. And I understand that AAU.
I don't think it's the continuity, though, D. That's the thing I'm saying. The continuity.
It's not the continuity with the top names. But you got a Thornwell that's still there. You can go to these teams that are in the Final Four with upperclassmen that are the guys on their team.
Right. But Thornwell's been there 4 years. And this is the first time his name been bannered about.
But he's an SEC player of the year.
Right, he is. And so is Dylan Brooks in our West. But and so was the big T boy from Oklahoma last year.
That's what I'm saying. We need to stop equating them to the NBA, though.
No, I'm just saying. What I'm saying is
we didn't do that back then.
Don't break out like when a freshman might come in and get added to a squad. It just kept that lineage going. Now it's like it's so hit and miss.
It's a fast track to the NBA. It's,
yeah, I guess it is.
Not only that, but the probably, I guess, I don't know if it's really disappointing or not, but not only are you getting one player that's coming in and adding to whatever pieces that team already has, which probably only in Kentucky's case isn't very many that they're adding. It's all package deals.
Exactly.
They're all bringing multiple.
Oh, and don't forget about the shoe deal.
All at once. And then the shoe deal.
Yeah. What AAU team they played for.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to, I think. It's a combination, like I said, of so many things. Because the way that the game was played then, I do love it. Not only the way the game was played, but the way guys were recruited. And I mean, now the players are the ones running the programs. Those players know that these coaches need them. It's not about the coaches. I mean, the players need the coaches anymore.
Yeah.
Now the coaches need those players.
And that's like you say, it's AAU, but it's also, let's think about this, it's also the money because you got the TV deals. Back in the day, just like we say about college football, only team on TV was Notre Dame. So everybody wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. Now once the TV deals come, same thing, it's Big Monday, it's Super Tuesday, it's some Wednesday, it's a Thursday. It's a team.
It's all money driven,
it's
no doubt.
Big 12 network, it's SEC network. Every night, you can go anywhere now and be on TV.
Some programs can't recruit certain players because he's an Adidas guy.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
And that's to your point
about
the influence of other things other than the loyalty to your community or to what you grew up knowing about.
Okay. And I get that. And I agree with y'all. I liked it better then, too. But we're talking about the loyalty.
You've just adjusted.
The genie is out of the bottle, though.
But I'm saying, we're asking for the loyalty of the kids to be that. But where's the loyalty from the top? Where's the loyalty to the player?
Forget that.
That's my point.
No. I think the argument gets skewed on what I'm saying because I'm not against.
You're not even a one and done. You're straight out of high school.
Yeah. If they good enough to go this year, they can go. If they get good enough to go next year,
they can go
in
now.
6 months is not going to be much different. Might as well go out of high school.
This is the problem. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think they might as well go out of high school. And to me, the game was changed. When I saw people leave Duke early and Krzyzewski said, this is the way we got to play now, one and done's here too, it's all over. You know, because that's a different style of mentality.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? He goes back to, this is how we do it. Upperclassmen are here. The young folks learn from them, and that was the way the system was. It's not that way anymore.
No.
He gets the best player he can get, and he understands he might not be here next year.
Yeah, and they pulled a lot of that. I'm a firm believer. He pulled that from straight out of Calipari's book.
Exactly.
Just what it is. Because you got to think about it. Prior to when he really started recruiting one and duns on the regular, I think he only had one, and that was Corey Maggette, if I'm not mistaken.
There wasn't
nobody else. They weren't even recruiting brothers with tattoos.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, Jason Williams was the only. When Jason Williams got a tattoo, I say, Coach, you been in the rules a little bit, Coach.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? And if he did
recruit guys with tattoos, you know, it might have been a little basketball with a little flame on it.
Definitely wasn't a sleeve.
Yeah, it wasn't no.
He tatted on the neck.
No. You ain't going to have no lips on the neck and all that kind of stuff. Nothing like that. But I just really, I see it in a way as to where it's benefiting Duke to the way that they want it, you know, to benefit them. And it seems like everybody's trying to go that route now, but not everybody can coach that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another issue that you're having. I mean, up at Michigan State, there's a kid named Miles Bridges who's pretty doggone good, too. But Michigan State has had a difficult road this year. One of the reasons why, because usually when they're successful in making deep runs is because they have senior leadership.
Exactly.
And it's not because they have to rely so much on younger players.
Mo P.
Yeah.
Mateen Cleave.
All those guys.
Yeah.
You do.
That's the way he really does.
You really do.
That's his sister. That's the way he did.
And the thing about it,
When was the last time he won a national championship?
You asking me?
Yeah, you're the Michigan State guys. I'm asking the Michigan State guy, when was the last time Michigan State won a national championship?
When they had the Flintstones.
17 years ago.
No.
17 years ago, year 2000.
So.
And the Big Ten has not had a national championship since.
So here's my point.
And
he hasn't made that adjustment, and we keep. But who's made the adjustment and who's won the ships?
But and Bettino, right. Bettino don't even coach one. He don't even recruit one and done's, and he got a ship.
But he had he recruits
Bettino.
He recruits transfers.
Bettino will go and get a one and done.
Oh, no doubt about it.
If he got to use some prostitutes to get it, he can get it. Did I say that out loud? Did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking it in my head.
Hey, it was just us. Ain't nobody listening. But just us.
I mean, at the end of the day, systems are being screwed. Corners are being cut all the way around just to get these kids.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, there's so many different ways we can slice it, dice it, shape it, mold it. But at the end of the day, a lot of it does probably come down to, you know, who's willing to come with the biggest check?
Hey, but hey, man, see,
one thing about your boy at Michigan State, he's solid in that program. Yes. So he doesn't have that pressure to worry about his job on the line. So he can still
He had pressure, though?
I don't think
Tom Izzo?
So.
Nah. Yeah. Not like pressure to fire him, but pressure. Like rumblings, because we had rumblings of him going to the NBA.
I don't think
he interviewed for the
I'm talking about his losing his job. He don't have to worry.
No. He's not going to lose his job. See, if he's feeling any kind of pressure, he's probably feeling a teeny tiny bit of pressure from the fan base
and the alumni.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I mean, not even as much the alumni, but the fan base that, to me, in my personal opinion, has gotten really spoiled. With all of a sudden, it's March. Here comes a time.
We're
going to
be in the Final Four.
This is the first time, and I can't think of how long it's been. I know he hasn't ever lost back-to-back first games in the NCAA tournament. But this is the first time that I can think of in quite a while, just right off the top of my head, that he didn't get out of the first weekend. He lost last year, obviously, in the first round to Middle Tennessee State, and then in the second round this year to Kansas. So
that was a hard game. That was the best game in the tournament.
I think he feels a little bit of pressure maybe from the fan base, who's probably not even old enough to really know anything about the program.
He lost a one-and-done last year, though. What was the kid?
Deontay Davis.
He got another one this year.
Yeah, so you think?
Miles Bridges is gone.
Honestly looked like he's gonna go. I don't get mad at kids for chasing bags, man. But the biggest thing for me, this is the only gripe that I have, and I've been talking to people about this on social media for I don't know how long. When you jump in and you make that jump to go to the next level, instead of it just being about the paycheck, then stay an extra year if need be to work on your game to get it to the point. Because if you can't tell me right now to my face that you can leave this year and go and produce on an NBA roster, then you need to stay. If you have games and loopholes in your game that needs to be worked upon, then you need to stay.
But that's his point, though. He don't agree with that.
Because I think you can get better in the NBA.
Doing what? Passing out Gatorade cups and towels?
No, and every day you go to the gym and you work out with coaches that specialize in getting you where you go.
But you will never see the floor.
And it happens. And if you're good enough, you do.
Paid,
hey, what about J.O.? Think about played at Portland, then ended up going to
Indiana. Jermaine O'Neal.
How long did he stay on the bench?
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, when he
All-star.
He got better.
That's what. Where do you develop? See, and here's back to the conversation we had about where do you develop? Would we rather see this in college or would we rather see this in the NBA? Take a year or two regardless of where you are.
But to Deshaun's
point.
And it might
depend on the kid, too.
Yeah, to Deshaun's point. That's the way Michigan State developed their players is to and Duke used to do that.
But why is that? Why they hadn't won a national championship in 17 years? Because they're following that trend. That's my point.
Absolutely not. I don't personally think that's the case. Because maybe they haven't won a national championship, but they've gotten to a lot of Final Fours and had opportunities at national championships where they didn't do this with one-and-done kids. Right. I mean, we see a lot of guys right now. Kentucky is leaving multiple national championships on the table and getting the best talent in the country every year. So I don't even think that is necessarily about that as much as it is the fact that this is what I would do. If my kid is that good and he's good enough to go and play at the next level after his freshman year.
Talk to me, LaVar.
This is what I say to him. You sit down next to me. Doors closed, locked, phones off, TV off, everything. We're going to run down all 31, 32 NBA, 30 teams that there is in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And we're going to sit down and go through where you think you would fit at on all of these rosters. over whomever is starting and who's on the bench. Because you can't forget, this is a grown man's game. This is how people are feeding their children. Mm-hmm. This ain't, oh, we just going to play ball. Mm-hmm. This is grown man game. So what I want to know is, if you can't go and produce off the rip, we want to get you to where you can produce off the rip. That's the whole point of getting ready to go to. You're ready to go. Not your paycheck, not your wallet ready.
I understand you, but to me, I've always said you go when the iron is hot. Now, if you're top 10 pick lottery, I think you got to go. If you're a no-brainer top 10 pick, you have to me,
and
you have to.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Have to go because you can never recoup. Look what happened to James Michael McAdoo. If he'd have come out when he was supposed to.
As a freshman.
He would have been set for life.
Yeah. Number two. He would have been. He was projected number two pick.
And now he's just a journeyman.
But
never
that was the
make
same James Michael McAdoo that you was going. That's the believer that I am. The person that you got is the person that you got.
He regardless of Tulane.
Regardless on whether you stay or what. Because guess what? We can't.
I'm just saying he never.
What do we blame that on? North Carolina got enough alumni and got a big enough crew of guys that went there to help this man on his game, and they played in the toughest conference in the country.
But your flaws
and so many other
come
things.
Out if you're not really. What I'm saying is, if you got them folks fooled that you this and that, you better go get that check.
But you have to know your own game. If you know your own game ain't enough to stand in there, realistically, I'm not talking about what everybody else around town is telling you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if you know your own game to know that you're not ready on for that level, then you need to stay in the extra year. It's not going to hurt
but
nobody.
You know your own game, do you think you're – if you don't think you're that player now, do you really believe that you're going to think you're that player a year later?
If you working on your game, absolutely.
Would you have told J. Michael McAdoo to go?
Day one.
That's what I'm saying. I think you have to go when the money's there.
Because
I'm
a believer.
But guess what? After them 3 years, what happened?
I understand. And my brother suffered that.
You get your little $3 million.
He suffered.
And you down. Let me tell you.
He would have more than $3 million.
I want to say.
Okay. Go ahead.
You have a nice chunk of change. It don't matter if you're just handing out towels, at whether you stay 1 year or stay 4 years. Handing out towels is handing out cups and towels.
Let me hand out a towel for $12 million, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's
better than going and working in a warehouse.
I agree. But a lot of these guys are not far from that.
Yeah, but he been D-leaguing and all this
and
barely hanging on.
I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad you mentioned the D-League. Now the G-League. Because a lot of those guys are being sent down there, and it's becoming overpopulated, and you will never see the light.
And he will never recoup that $12 million. That's what I'm saying. He will never
be for the money, but you grow up. Of course, now we're all growing up as an adult, and you realize that this is all about the money. But on this level and of this stage of the NBA, I do question how many people are playing the game for the money, how many people because you grew up having love for the game. Now, I do understand that it's a business. However, I will say that it's as simple as when you have those type of players that are doing it for the wrong reasons. When you start putting it in there to where it's all about
the money,
can burn money real fast.
It's all situational based on the player, situation,
and
things of that nature. And you just got to weigh your situation out and choose the best for your situation, because every situation is not going to benefit everybody. But since we on the Final Four, and we got to get to a 1 minute break, and we got to come back for some fun bag stuff. Give us, while you're there, give us your Final Four picks and who takes the title this year.
This is Carolina's championship to lose, man. I mean, Roy Williams is good for leaving chips on the table the same way Calipari is, if you ask me.
I thought you were going to say that he leaves timeouts the way
he leaves. And he does a whole – and guess what? He does a whole lot of that too.
Right,
I'm a believer that if North Carolina wins this, then it's going to be because of the rebounding, obviously, and just their talent has taken over.
Who do they play?
They play Gonzaga.
Okay.
But none of this – look, I'm going to be real with you. The way that this whole college basketball season has gone, because I didn't see no clear-cut favorite. None of us saw a clear-cut favorite.
We all agree to that.
From the beginning of the season to the end of the season.
Right.
At this point, as crazy as it may seem, it just really wouldn't surprise me if I saw Oregon and South Carolina. I mean, at this point, yeah, realistic. I mean, it just wouldn't. It wouldn't because, dude, South Carolina is the most confident team in the country, and Oregon is probably the most disrespected team in the country because South Carolina is getting so much more publicity
and
than they're getting.
Seven seed
and Oregon is a good
seed.
Basketball team, and they're tough and they're feisty, and Carolina does not like those type of teams.
They don't.
I'm still taking Gonzaga against North Carolina in the end with Carolina to win it, but that's all on paper. This game is not won on paper, and I think all of us will probably say, as far as if we took a poll, the front runners for who would play for the national championship, I'm pretty sure it would be North Carolina.
That would be consensus.
There you go. Yeah. All right, 1 minute break. We'll be back. SRT Fun Bag coming back. Deshaun Tate just dropped that knowledge.
Knowledge.
Got Carolina Gonzaga in the finals with Carolina to lose, to win, but it's Carolina's to lose. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
The Georgia Renaissance Festival opens April 15th.
Robin Hood, a Mary Queen, hordes of swords and juggling, men in tights who like to fight with sharp things in their hands.
Yeah.
Clothing, jewelry, pottery, it's like you've won the lottery. Stop on by.
Why not hurry?
For fun and food and drink.
Opening weekend of the Georgia Renaissance Festival near Atlanta is April 15th and 16th. Buy one adult ticket, get one free at the gate or at GARENFest.com. Opening weekend, it's
buy one, get one free.
And now, back to Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
SRT Fun Bag, go!
Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think. No, is it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag.
Hey.
Sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you're looking for that good old stogie,
yep.
Holler at me. Holler me on Facebook. Go to Big Boy Cigars on Facebook. Like the page. And all that good stuff. Drink big. Think big. Smoke big.
Smoke big.
Big Boy Cigars. You already know. Hey, Fun Bag. This is going to be real fun. Deshaun, I hope you can kind of get with this. I'm going to go around the room this way. Does that mean, D, where you going to go first?
Oh, you want
so
that?
Let's go, Weezy.
Listen, so we got to be quick now. So you got to think quick.
Oh, you know, I don't do nothing quick, baby, but we can go with it. Let's roll with it.
All right, so if you were having a party and you had to invite people based on categories, give me the person that you would invite. Which rapper would you invite to your party?
Jay-Z.
Which singer would you invite to your party?
Rihanna.
Which musical band would you invite to your party?
What is that?
Oh, my God. Like, Confunction, Mint Condition.
I don't listen to that.
Okay.
Metro Boomin. Okay. Bring the trap music in. Let's go.
Actor or actress?
Ooh, Nia Long.
Comedian.
Oh, Martin.
Entertainer.
What is that?
Oh, okay, famous person.
Mia Khalifa.
All right, Han, you ready? Oh, who will host your party?
Diddy. Diddy.
All right, Facebook Live, y'all join in. Answer the questions as we go. All right, Hancock, which rapper or rap group would you invite to your party?
I ain't get rap group.
You want to change it?
No.
Okay.
Biggie.
He dead.
Oh, okay. I thought it could be
good,
dead.
Good, because I was showing for the same spot.
It don't matter. It don't
okay.
Matter.
I'm like Biggie.
Which singer?
Which singer? Terrence Trent D'Arby. I don't know.
Oh, man?
Which band?
I don't know, man. I don't really listen to music, man.
Oh, boy, y'all.
He can sing. He lying. You want the Temptations.
Actor or actress?
Halle.
Ooh.
Comedian.
Dave Chappelle.
You've been on Netflix.
Not yet.
Okay.
Famous person.
That's a lot of famous.
Martin Luther King.
That's a drop. Anyway.
Yes, it is.
Who hosts your party?
Snoop. Snoop.
Yes, it is. All right, Mr. Tate, you ready?
I think so.
Martin Luther King is Snoop.
Rapper or rap group, who would you invite?
I would say Pac.
Okay.
But I mean, that's dope. For someone that's living, Jeezy for sure.
Mm. Okay. Jeezy. Singer.
Singer? Ooh. Wow. I'm not sure, man. Probably.
Don't get in trouble.
Beyonce?
No, I ain't gonna get in no trouble. I don't know, but it wouldn't be Beyonce. I'm not.
What about a band?
Jodeci.
Jodeci.
Ooh, yeah. That's okay. A band. Okay. Okay. That's a band. I take that.
Okay. Or singer, I guess it could be okay. A dude. Jodeci. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They gonna get. Oh no. Jodeci? I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Singer, Kells.
Okay.
Ooh.
Group, Jodeci.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now you brought them out.
If Kells come, you gotta have some security.
You gotta have one of them ID checkers. This is a scam.
Oh God.
Actor or actress?
Wow. I don't know. I would probably say Denzel. That's my favorite.
Comedian.
I mean, that's if it's a guy. I'm not.
Comedian.
We ain't gonna hold up against you.
We good. Comedian.
I'm coming with a lot of guys, man. Don't get worried, man. I've been in this town.
This is a party, I thought.
Might have been in this town too long, man. I don't know what's going on. What was it?
Comedian.
Mike Epps.
Oh, that's a good one.
Famous person.
What are they doing? Just to come to the party?
Yeah, that's your party. You just want to, you know.
I think them Gonzalez twins pretty famous, bro.
Oh, boy.
I had to go back to them Gonzalez twins. All
right.
I got a thing for them twins. Because you get two of them.
Okay, yes. Oh, you get God. Two. And they, ooh.
Who hosts your party?
I don't know if the Gonzalez twins old enough to be there with R. Kelly.
But hosting it.
They might be too old.
Right. Just make sure you don't drink a lot of water.
Yeah, don't drink nothing.
No, for real. My Uncle Jerry gotta host this.
There you go.
My Uncle Jerry got to host this.
Okay,
All right, G, you ready?
All right.
Rapper or rap group?
Ray Shrimmer.
Oh, yeah.
Singer.
They young.
Even though you said it already, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Band?
The Roots.
Okay. Ooh.
Actor or actress?
See, he had time to think about this.
I was thinking about the actor, actress. Come back to me on that one. Like, just
comedian.
Chris Rock.
Famous person.
Former President Obama. I don't
know. Who hosts the party?
Kanye.
Oh, wow. Actor or actress?
Oh, man. I would say
J-Lo.
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington.
She ain't got no top lip. I'm sorry.
All right, mine would be rapper 8-Ball MJG, singer Sade, band Mint Condition, actor or actress, J-Lo, comedian, Bruce, okay. Famous person, Coach K, host, Chris Rock.
You got a grown folk part.
Yeah, he got a grown folk part. Hey, you playing Mint Condition.
Yeah, he got a grown folk part.
Sade?
What year is it?
Straight up grown folk.
What year is it?
he got a white part.
Lenny.
We know what you meant. Yeah.
In the handcuffs. I did not mean Caucasian. That's good.
Caucasian.
Oh, Lenny, you said it. I didn't. Boy, y'all all the same, man. But listen, thanks for Deshaun coming in, man.
No doubt.
Listen, have a safe trip.
Man, thank you so much.
And,
salute,
brother. Look.
Never been to the West Coast, man.
But
so.
Look, just because, just because the Final Four is over don't mean you can't come.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
But
man.
Listen, I want to give a special shout out. Let's call this a loyal listener fan gift. We've been doing this since 2013. G-Money, you don't remember this, but I do a lot of research. I do a lot of feedback. I get a lot of feedback. I love my crew. Hancock, you've been awesome. You've been steady. You've been a professor. D. Will, you have come on strong. The Jeweler Sports been doing a thing. Shout out to the six man, Jay Smooth.
Yes, sir.
And Slick Money, shout out to you as well. And G Money, part of the crew, thanks for all you do. But there's one person that I've had so many people tell me, if I don't get this man something, they go get at me. Mm. When we first started, I've had people say, does he have to talk over everybody?
Mm.
I've had people say, why does he scream all the time?
Mm.
I've had people say, is Alabama in every sentence he say? I've had people say, did he just, like, throw the mic? Did he? I mean, like, and I've heard people say, I'm telling you what people tell me. They say, how old is he?
I didn't see that one.
All of a sudden, this was the feedback I got, and this one I knew something had happened. Who's the new guy on your crew?
Ooh.
Ain't nobody new.
Mm.
Nobody. So to all those loyal listeners who've given me feedback, I want to tell my big homie, D. Will,
hey,
the coach.
Hey!
My man, I don't know what happened, but I really, really appreciate the growth that you have made. You have done a tremendous job in what you have accomplished. You come in here, pen, paper, instead in your car. You even print out the notes for us sometimes.
Yes, sir.
And I want to give you...
Oh, I got a present? Hold on! Stop the presses! Stop the presses!
A $25 gift card.
I got paid!
For my big homie.
Big weeks.
Hey, I appreciate that. Now, that is... Hey, listen. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
This is the greatest gift I ever got in my life besides my wife. I'm just going to keep it 100. This is the greatest gift I got in my life besides my wife.
That's when you know you're black, when you say presses.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So that's my shout out. Salute. I just wanted to make sure big homie understood where I was coming from.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be like baby and not take care of my folks.
There it is.
Hey, appreciate that, man.
All right, go ahead with your shout out, man.
Oh, man. Shout out. Let me shout out this pilot that's going to be taking me to the Final Four tomorrow.
Because
I need him to be on his P's and Q's.
Yeah.
But no, realistically, shout out to all you guys, man. Appreciate you guys for having me on, giving me an opportunity to just spread my wings, man, and just stay relaxed and talk about something that I've been wanting to do ever since I was a kid, man. So they say you couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so according to some people, I ain't supposed to be here right now, man. That's real talk. But, shout out to my moms, of course, man. Everybody on social media that's been following everything that SRT has been doing, in addition to Tate's Take and everything in between. So just shout out to everybody that's listening, all the loyal supporters.
There you go.
I want to shout out my ride or die, my down chick, my wife. We had our anniversary this past week.
Hey!
So,
live hand clap for that one, baby. I
want to give it up for Miss Superhero T. Hancock. Love you, baby. And happy anniversary. I want to make sure I said that to you.
That was a script. That was on live. Yeah, it looked like you read.
Yeah, no, no, it's not read. That's from the heart. They trying to get me. But happy anniversary, baby. Love you. Marty wanted to give out his. He said Ice Cube, Frankie Beverly, Erwin and Five, Denzel, Kevin Hart, and Farrakhan.
Oh, my God.
My man.
So his was on. So anyway, happy anniversary, baby, and shout out to everybody out there on Facebook. Appreciate y'all.
All right, D.
Hey, man, salute to the crew, man. Salute my man, Deshaun Tate, man, brother. Thank you for giving us credibility. You do a great job.
No doubt.
And that's real. Salute to my man, G, Tiff, and y'all already know. Follow me on social media, man. I don't have enough followers. Go follow at I Am Coach K9. That's I Am Coach K with K like King and the number 9. Man, go follow me, please.
There you go. All right, G.
Shout out to my mom and dad. They do listen every week.
Hey,
shout
mama.
Out to the Craig, SRT Craig. Crew and all the West Georgia alum. And follow me on social media at G Plays It Cool. And follow my podcast, By the Time You Hear This, at bythetimeyouhearthis.com.
There you go. There it is. Another week in the books, man. Thanks for Deshaun Tate coming through. And shout out to our Facebook Live listeners. My homeboy Tyler McCray say Westbrook, Harden, Anthony Davis, and John Wall.
Ooh, left Wall out. That's a good
one. Balling.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and my cousin say, I told you D-Will was a smart man.
Thank you.
So, all kind of love for D-Will tonight.
Hey, I'm
but anyway, so listen, don't forget, brand new website, srtradio.com. Please go to the website, because that's how we do it. Go to the website. It's your one-stop sports source. And until next week, Han, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
Same as always, LSU, Light Skin United.
And you know your main man, H.O. from Bankhead, R.I.P. Mons, and R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
I have a dream.
And we out. Peace.